Welcome to Remelations. We're your hosts.
I'm Mindy.
And I'm Brooke. Remelations is a dream interpretation podcast where we read listeners' dreams, from nightmares to the just plain bizarre. Join us as we give you our comedic interpretation of your fucked up REM cycle. Today I've got a dream from our bestie G about a magical land of cat people.
We also have catnaps, of course. Today we're learning how to drive a stick.
Ooh.
Do you remember Tamagotchis? Watch out for the clown bus. And beach day surgery. Not going to want to miss that one because you can make a wish. Promise.
Mm-hmm.
All right, bestie. Broadcasting live from my closet. Let's get started.
Woo! Not wasted any time today.
No. Bestie, before we got on, I had sent Brooke a little video.
It's a good one.
I'm recording from my closet today. Well, actually, my husband's closet, because it's bigger for some reason.
What?
That's not the big
right. This needs to change. Right?
I don't have a lot of clothes. I know. So I'm recording from the closet because all of a sudden, at the 11th hour, right before we were supposed to record, they decided my husband had washed my stepson's clothes. And so the washing machine is right above where I record, so it was loud. And he also had to change the fish water before he hit record. So I'm like,
that's right above too.
I'm gonna have to navigate and move my studio to the closet. I get up here, and as soon as I unplug my computer, it decides it has to do updates. So I try to avoid updates on this computer because they take 4 hours.
It's slow.
So after everything got updated, I go to sit down and I spill my White Claw all over my notes. And so I had to go reprint off my notes.
Oh my God.
They are fresh off the press. Hot. They are warm from the printer. And I think I'm now ready.
Are you sure?
Like, we're a half hour at least.
Yeah, 28 minutes.
Late now. Yeah, sorry about that.
You don't have to apologize ever. Okay. Ooh.
And I already put on a tank top because I know I'm going to be sweating in this closet.
Are you frazzled?
And if you want to see the video of my sad face with my wet pages, you can join our sleepover squad. I'm going to put the video up there for you guys.
Please, please.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to be slappy. Okay.
This dream comes from our bestie G, also known as Talacious G from our feral grannies. Yes.
Loved that one.
So I just wanted to start because G is so sweet. First, he writes, I wanted to thank you both for your input on my previous dream, Exploding Feral Grannies and the Moon. Honestly opened my eyes to a lot of what I was dealing with at the time. On that note, I got another one from around the same time.
Great.
So he did want to update us too, because as we had mentioned, he had cancer. Mm-hmm. And he says his battle with cancer is going great.
Good.
He's on the winning end and feeling awesome. So,
awesome. Yay.
Yay.
Good news.
Yes. Okay. So, just a little background here for you. This is another dream he had while he was on chemo.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just fascinating to me, like, how your dreams can be different when there's meds involved or health scares.
Pregnancy or
any kind of thing can change everything. So at the time, he was actually in the ICU, and he quite literally said he was moments from death, but held on.
Okay, wow.
So I just wanted to give a little background so you could understand the symbolism that we're going to kind of talk about.
All right.
It started in what seemed familiar area. Shocking. Doesn't it? That's always how it gets. Bright, with the sun shining. As a gamer, it reminded me of a mix between, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, Limegrave in Elden Ring, and parts of the map in the game Conan Exiles.
Okay. Not familiar,
I'll just picture something in my head.
I'm sure it's right.
As I entered this land, I was greeted by this weird anthropomorphic lion slash man creature.
Okay, like it.
I like it so far.
If I'm gonna pick an animal, like a lion's pretty good.
Yeah,
top of the food chain.
I like that. I like big cats. They are usually apex predators. You know,
right? You don't want to be the gazelle in this.
No. I'm glad he's working with the right side here.
Yeah,
the lion slash man creatures. He was calm and shared his knowledge of the land. Well, see, he's very nice, lion man. He then told me of having inhuman abilities like super strength, speed, the ability to fly, and telekinesis of some sort.
Oh, sweet.
I'm like, hey, this sounds pretty cool. The character was very persistent on making this place my new home and to make it my own. So I proceeded to punch, because, you know, he's got the strength now. I proceeded to punch this elaborate temple and stone staircase into the side of a cliff. Well,
aren't you like the Hulk?
Yeah, good job. And that you can, like, just make it this beautiful temple and staircase.
Yeah, he's got to punch the stone, you know, that old tactic. How do you think the pyramids got built?
Exactly.
Punching stones. It's not aliens.
Big blocks of stone, one punch, pyramid.
Yep. Done.
You just got to hit the right spot.
Yeah.
As I wandered around this temple, more of these cat people started to come around.
Okay.
They were various types of cheetahs, tigers, panthers, etc. So we've got
lots
big
of cats
galore. I love it. But they were people, and they were complimenting my temple. I had superhuman punched into the mountain. Well, I think that's pretty good. I would be complimenting too.
Rave reviews.
Be like, can you get me like a litter box punched in over here and a little cat bath over here?
I need a really big bathroom. Like, I want marble. Can we punch some marble? I mean, I guess it is rock, so that makes sense. Mindy.
Yeah, I think he could do it. At this time, the sun is setting in this new land I found myself. Okay. And laying on top of this open hill overlooking the area I had explored and created. At this point, I felt the warmth of the sun as I closed my eyes.
Lovely.
As my eyes closed in the dream, I woke up.
Oh.
It had really thrown me off because of how at peace and warm I was, and then waking up in a cold, dark hospital room.
Oh, yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that does. That's quite the contrast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, we already kind of touched base on, like, how your health or medications you're taking can affect your dreams. And I could only imagine what a stress dream is like when you're literally clinging to your life.
Yes, right.
So I would want to be trying to find, I think my subconscious would be trying to find comfort, too. And I just want to say thank you to G for sharing his story and his dreams and for not giving up. And he just keeps fighting. So, but where the dream begins, this familiar, lovely day, happy, safe place. But then I started thinking, he was so tied to where he was in his waking life, the ICU.
Yeah, right. You're literally tethered to machines.
Right. And were these lights he was feeling creating that sun effect? Like, even though he was close to death, like, did he feel comforted by knowing he was, like, in the best hands possible for a situation, even though he was in the ICU? You know how people just, like, they have memories of doctors and lights and stuff, and it could affect the way you're dreaming, too.
I think it's interesting that he is, like you said, he's tethered to this hospital bed, yet in this dream he's in this like vast open space. His mind's like freeing him from kind of those from it's the like, moment because it's so heavy it, his real life was so heavy that his mind needed to go to a place which had some freedom and some creativity and the warmth. Obviously,
I mean, just the punching itself is kind of like, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to create this
cancer.
New land. But yeah,
fuck
I mean, getting frustration out. But in his dream life, he knew he had to keep going to adapt to live. And he even had to find that strength he didn't know he had. So if you're looking into the symbolism of big cats, right? When you see big cats almost of any kind, and the more specific they are, he had a bunch of different kinds, but
yeah.
There's different traits, but in general, a big cat means you need to tap into your inner strength.
Yes.
And be more courageous.
Thinking,
And I'm like, how dead on is that? That he's literally clinging to life.
G is not the cowardly lion.
No.
G is the powerful lion. Like that, I
Very
do love
powerful.
That. As I do agree that it's all about strength and inner power and strength. Yeah.
Well, and it's like cats, they can also mean you're feeling overpowered, which, yes, of course, that is the cancer, you know. These cats, human creatures, I think, are representing both strength and his aggressions. You know, the aggression of cancer and then the strength to beat it. His inner strength is medical professionals, his emotional support, whatever got him through.
And maybe it's just his own will to get past this. Like, there's so much that... There's people helping you, and like you said, like the medical professionals, your family and friends are there to support you, but so much of it comes from your inner strength. So much of it does. Because if you feel defeated, you will be defeated. And my grandma lived till she was 89, and she told me, if I stop being active, my grandma was a seamstress, she was volunteered for the church, she's like, the day I stop doing things is the day the Lord will take me. It's always about that, like, inner
You have
strength.
To push yourself, yeah.
Yeah. You roll over and become lazy, or you stop putting up the fight, and it'll be done for.
Yeah, and it's just kind of same like natural instinct, fight, flight. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's like, are you gonna fight or are you just gonna
fawn?
Fawn.
Be the gazelle. Be the fawn. Don't be the fawn. Be the lion.
Be the lion. But so I kind of wanted to go back to these lion. /man creatures. Mm-hmm. The big cat stuff makes a lot of sense. But going back to him being in the ICU with all these lights, and he's imagining he's in this bright, sunshiny place, could these cat people also represent like the hospital staff? Because they're taking care of him. They're encouraging him.
Yeah.
They're telling him he's strong, you know, like,
oh yeah,
keep fighting. And I'm like, that's what the cats are telling him. That's what the people taking care of him would be doing at the hospital. So I'm like, is he kind of aware, not aware? You know, it's just a fascinating juxtaposition of all the different symbolism he's got going on here. Just another little thing I wanted to say is at the end, it was really sad because he actually said, the sun is setting. And that's like literally a term used for like end of life or dying. But he was also happy, almost like... When you hear, you know, go into the light, again, the lights, or, you know, maybe it was just finding peace in some version of his afterlife, his heaven, whatever he believes in, or like you said, whatever his mind is creating for him to find some kind of peace during this incredibly tough time for him in his life.
The other thing I thought was interesting was the idea that he is punching things, like... destroying things to create something.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you had to be broken down, and he literally was broken down in his health, to build yourself better and build yourself back and greater. And that's kind of like when he was crushing the stone and making it into his palace.
Yep.
I mean, it's really just destruction in order to create. And sometimes
that
you have to be at
that level. That is beautiful, Mindy. That is actually really beautiful. I never thought of that. That's really insightful.
Your body is just like really... going through it.
Connected. It's everything is so deeply connected, don't even realize like how things are linked up. But you know, he was happy. Like you said, he was happy looking at the land he created, his beautiful temple, staircase. But it's almost, I thought that was almost also kind of like how people say your whole life flashes before your eyes. You know, so maybe when he had that peace of just laying in the sun and closing your eyes, and then like he just had that, it was almost like he was okay with going, like they were saying, hey, it's okay, you know, you're really sick and this is gonna, you're gonna be okay here, but you can still fight too. It was almost like he had to choose, and he fought. And considering, you know, his real life situation, you know, he had both people helping him fight. He said he was really right.
Yeah, right.
At death's door. So this just could be one of those freak things where it was really up in a balance and he just woke up and that's
from there it turned a corner and it seems like he's doing great, which I love to hear. I love to hear that, G.
Yeah, he is a fighter in the best possible way. And G, thank you for being so open with your struggles and your story.
Always,
so thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Meow.
Good job. Big cats. Big cats. But Brooke, if you're going to be a half human, half animal.
Uh-huh.
What would you choose as your animal half?
Oh, God. You know what? I think a big cat would be a good choice.
Would your top half be the cat? Or the bottom half?
I don't know how it works.
I'm doubling down on this question.
Yeah, you are. Or is it just going to be even freakier, like what cats look like from the musical Cats?
Oh, yeah.
They're like in like costumes, but they're human shape. And it's just,
okay, or that.
But this is a good question. I've never really thought about it. I'd probably pick a tiger or a snow tiger because I think the white ones are so gorgeous.
Yes.
But I love the water so much that maybe I want to be...
I know, you kind of want to be a dolphin.
I want to be a dolphin.
That's what I picked for you. Actually, I could see it going both ways, so makes sense.
I have my land animal and my sea animal. What do you have? What would you pick?
I might go with parrot. They're intelligent. You get to live on a pirate ship. You can talk.
And it's pretty good.
You can fly, and you can get like a lot of places very quickly.
See, you can be you have a land and air.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Go with parrot. Half a parrot.
Go with parrot.
I mean, the wings part would have to be the parrot part, obviously.
I was going to be like, maybe the second half of me would be you being the parrot.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's tough to imagine this.
Bestie, you're going to have to let us know. We're going to post this in our Facebook group. Let us know what other half of animal you'd like to be. Very curious.
And we'd like some drawings. I would love to see some drawings. If you have a drawing
love
of
fan art.
Me half dolphin, half human, yeah. Or half tiger, half human, or Mindy half parrot, half human, or your own combination, we love drawings.
Yes. You can send them to remelations@gmail.com. We'd love to see them.
Yes.
And speaking of wonderful dreams and ways to support the show, head on over to remelations.com/support. There you can submit your dream or be like the coolest bestie of all times, our bestest besties, and join our sleepover squad.
Woo!
That's where you get behind the scenes video. You can see me in my wonderful closet today. And you can also,
exciting.
It is exciting. Not only do you get the videos for each of our episodes, you can also see extra dreams. We also do what we call midnight snacks, is things that don't make it on the show. There's usually a bunch of stuff because we can't have a 2-hour podcast. So whatever's on the cutting room floor, we throw it in our midnight snack. So if you just can't get enough of Brooke's hilarious laugh and me and my beautiful face.
Exactly.
To remelations.com/support.
I loved it.
Not that you're not beautiful as well. I mean, that kind of came off bad.
I know where my strengths are.
Okay. You're gorgeous. Are you kidding me? I love you so much.
It was hilarious. Well, Mindy, speaking of cats.
Big cats.
Big cats. Let's have catnaps.
Of course.
Catnaps are actually when we read through a bunch of shorter dreams or dream stories, maybe even a sentence. We just kind of go through them for listening to your weird, crazy mind. We love it. So even if you have just short dreams, submit them, because that's what catnaps is all about.
I'm going to kick this off with a dream that came into our inbox, and this is from Anonymous Girl.
Okay.
Hometown of Nunya Business.
Love it.
And this is titled At Grandma's.
Okay.
I love the town of Nunya.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
You know,
I love it in the fall.
There? Delish. You gotta go to the Nunya Diner.
Tell them Mindy sent you.
Yes, please. Get yourself some hash. The apple pie.
Sounds great.
All right. So it starts off with everything pixelated in the theme of a Tamagotchi.
Brooke, okay.
Do you remember Tamagotchis?
I do. I never had a Tamagotchi.
Oh, you never had a Tamagotchi.
I knew that would be like your, that would be your, oh, I could just so see you. But I just have this fond memory of the scene in Schitt's Creek where David left Alexis with like 5 healthy Tamagotchis. And when I came back, they were all dead. And it was like this huge memory.
Drama. Yes.
Drama.
Yes, I do remember. And hashtag, I mean, wow. We haven't even yet.
We haven't even touched that show.
Oh,
so many options.
I mean, we have hashtagged Moira. We have hashtagged Catherine O'Hare.
We did?
So, with the, yes, we have. So she is out of the running.
Okay, because that was one I was going to go with because, well, second choice, because she's going to be in the new Beetlejuice movie later.
I know. This year.
Oh, it's going to be so good. Okay, so we're going to go with Daniel, probably.
Of course.
Hashtag, what does Daniel Levy dream?
Oh, I mean, I just adore him. I adore him.
Can I just tell you, so on my laptop, which I am currently using to record this podcast, I have a sticker on it that's his black sweater, and it just says, ew, David. Yes. And that is like on my computer, what I use, that is what I want the world to know about me, is ew, David. So come on, Dan, give it to us.
Oh, please, please let us know. I'm begging you on my knees.
So amazing. So amazing.
Now I'm thinking of Schitt's Creek. Okay.
I know, sorry. You got me off on those Tamaguchis.
Do you call it Tamaguchi?
Tamagotchi?
Tamagotchi. Not Tamaguchi. Brooke, I know you're a bougie bitch, but you said Tamaguchi.
Coochie Gucci.
Which makes sense. No, I did.
You did have a Tamaguchi.
I did have a Tamaguchi. Actually, I think it came out a little bit more like my younger sister Kelly's age. Mm-hmm. I think she had one. I think I babysat it a few times, perhaps, for our young besties. Tamaguchi. It was like an, I don't know, the size of a
keychain.
Yeah, it's like it sits on a keychain. It's like something that's maybe the size of a cup. I mean, like diameter wise, like. Small. It's like almost the size of like a baseball.
A pager.
Like the circumference
like
of a baseball.
Pager.
A pager. Like they know they don't know what Tamagotchi is, Brooke. You think they know what a pager is? Please.
So what you would use to like automatically like
the
your
size
of
an egg. It's the size of an egg.
Okay. Let's
is that
go
easy?
There.
Yeah, okay. Mm. So it is a pixelated, just like a little tiny screen, which you had a little egg that hatched. And then you had to make this little Tamagotchi grow up, and you had to feed it every so often. So, like, almost if you didn't come back to your Tamagotchi every hour, your Tamagotchi would die. And then you could never reset it. You couldn't reset it. So, once that toy died, you're done.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It was a lot of responsibility for 10-year-olds.
I thought you would have particularly liked it because you love The Sims so much.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's kind of like a similar
type thing. Oh, 80s toys. The best. Or I guess that would be 90s. 90s
that
toys.
90s, but yeah. Still good.
So going back to the dream, I know we did a hashtag and we went on a Tamagotchi off the rails exploration.
Gucci, Gucci.
But Gucci. Take your Tamaguchi.
And let's get out of here.
Okay, I'm saying it Tamaguchi from now on. In the theme of Tamaguchi, it was basically a gullpin, but with legs, arms, and the yellow part looked like a piece of wheat. And no lips and black part. LOL. Anyways, I arrive at my grandma's house. By the way, she's... okay, it took me a second. I had to read that again. By the way, grandma is a blind dog in lavender pajamas with dots.
Oh.
Grandma dog? Like
grandma dog, cat man. We got some interesting combos today.
That happens to be in a library, so... Now we're in a library. Scene change.
Hmm.
She starts talking to me about how she used to have a baby, and whenever she needed to clean it up, she would dump it in the tub to get rid of the 1,000 bugs.
Ew!
Bro. Then she used bug repellent to keep the bugs away. Can you imagine spraying your baby?
This is a human baby, or is it a dog?
I'm picturing it as a human baby.
That's what I'm picturing.
Otherwise, if it was a dog, it wouldn't just be fleas. just medicine.
Oh. Thousands of bugs on your baby, and you're just throwing it in the tub?
I think I'd go to a doctor.
Spraying it with chemicals?
I know, right? Get that extra DEET on there.
Oh, my
deep
God.
Deep woods, DEET. You might kill your baby. Don't do it for real.
Yeah, don't do that for real.
Besties, we know you're smarter than that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So... Next, she said her husband complained on never going on a cruise. So, they eventually went on one, LOL. Anyways, she finishes talking. There's a Tamaguchi section saying... Okay, I can't say Tamaguchi. Speaking of that. There's a Tamagotchi section saying, save Tamagotchi. Save Tamaguchi. But then it cuts to Gulpin guy sitting on a couch with a flickering light above him. Darkness all around. And grandma's behind him, about to kill him.
Oh!
I mean, she already killed the baby. Well...
What'd she use? D?
That's implied.
For him, too?
She just got... You know, instead of like the old timey where they got like the guns on the hip, the slingers, yeah. She just got like bottles of D. I mean, it could
She's
be better
like,
than pepper
spray. Armed and dangerous.
Agent Orange. Ready. Let's go.
Now that would take care of the bugs.
That would definitely take care of the bugs and most brain cells.
And just life in general.
Thanks for sending that in, anonymous girl. And hey, if we're ever in Nunya, we'll come visit.
Yes, please.
Yeah, let us know.
We'll go to that diner.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So last night... Oh, sorry. Sebastian, I should tell you who this is from. This please. Is from Sebastian from Charlotte. Last night, I dreamed that we were at the beach. It was just my dad and two brothers. We were sitting on the gazebo looking out at the ocean. Suddenly, so far, my dad so makes us all get up, get in the car... and takes us to a surgeon and forces us all to have our penises cut off.
No, that's not cool,
ouch,
Dad.
Ruining a good day at the beach.
What? He's just like looking at the ocean like, I have an idea.
For some reason, all of our penises are really big and slimy.
Oh, ew.
This is getting nasty. We then... take them back to the beach house and throw them into the ocean.
Do you get to make a wish?
I mean, yeah, what is this about?
I don't even know how you could walk after that, let alone go back to the beach.
Says, when I woke up, I thought for a moment my penis was gone. Oh, but felt immense relief when I felt it there.
Of course.
I could imagine that's the first thing you do. You're going to be like, y'all got it. Yeah, it's still there.
Oh, thank God. It's not in the ocean.
It's not big slimy in the ocean.
Gross.
I love that. Like, he just got this idea. We got to go get these cut off, but we have to come back and throw them into the ocean.
Yeah,
that's the ultimate wish. I mean, if you cut your penis off and throw
you get
it and make
three
wish,
wishes,
you get like five more wishes.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yep. I read it in a book once.
Yeah. Okay. It was a good book.
Late life circumcision, it was called.
Too much circumcision. Circumcision gone wild.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I don't know where
Sebastian.
To go with this.
I'm glad you are still in control of your package.
Wow. Okay. Brooke, you're going to love this. Here we go.
Okay. I'm ready.
This is Kara from Cedar Rapids.
Okay.
I haven't been able to sleep due to problems in my life, keeping me awake and thinking. And I recently had this really weird dream when I was able to sleep. My aunt was teaching me how to drive stick on a car at night in her driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how to drive stick, Brooke?
Not at all. Do you?
No. Do you ever try to learn, though?
Not, like, really try. Like, a friend of mine took me out into, like, a field.
Not a driveway.
And I tried for like, I don't know, a good 10 minutes. And then I was done.
Like, no.
No, not for me. But I mean, I think it would be fun to drive stick. Like,
sure.
But
well,
I just, I don't know. Nope.
I'm not like the rub my tummy, pat my head type.
No, I am not either.
Coordination. So to push in a clutch and then ease off the brake.
That's
and
a
then
lot.
I can't. I can't be a drummer. I can't drive stick.
Well, what good are you?
I don't know.
I don't know. Why would you say that? I don't know. You're amazing. You're amazing.
I love you.
I don't care if you can't drive stick or play the drums.
Thanks. Well, Kara's trying to learn in a driveway, which seems like a very narrow, bad place to learn.
Yeah.
We got out of the car, and my sister was there. We hear the ice cream truck music as a bus approaches.
Okay.
Ice cream bus? You can hold a lot of SpongeBobs in that.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my sister attempt to enter the house quickly out of fear, and my aunt is just taking the whole situation casually. I guess it was a creepy ice cream bus.
Yeah. I guess, could you, like, I'm hearing, like, the slowed down, like, music, oh. like, making it, like, really, like, haunting and creepy. Yeah.
Agree. Mm. Yeah. Okay. As we get inside, we lock everything, and I look out the front of the house and see clowns everywhere in the front yard. So it was a ice cream clown bus. I mean, that's a whole lot of clowns. I mean, especially if it's like had the clown car capability out of a bus.
I mean,
can you
what
just imagine?
Could a bus could hold like 1,000 clowns.
It's horrifying. Yikes. They were all different. Some normal. I don't know how normal they are, but okay, some normal.
What? Okay.
Some creepy. Some on all fours. And some small.
That's not creepy?
Yeah.
I don't like the ones on all fours. No, me, it's super creepy.
Ooh. I begin taunting the clowns because I knew they couldn't get in. And then, out of nowhere.
Don't think that was the best idea.
No, never taunt a clown.
Don't taunt the clown.
That's craziness.
Don't poke the bear.
It's a death wish. Then out of nowhere, my grandma, who has been dead for 4 years now, just hugs me, and we start jumping up and down in joy while hugging. And then I look at the back door, and...
Oh, no.
Some of the clowns got in, and that's when I woke up in fear.
You're in
Kara,
trouble.
You kind of asked for it. You kind of did.
You asked for it, and you're lucky you woke up, sweetie, because I think that dream was going to take a real nasty turn.
I'm glad Graham was there, though. That was nice. That was a nice visit.
That was nice. I liked that part.
Maybe Grandma's got some clown-killing capabilities we don't know of, so maybe Grandma would have just taken care of the situation.
That would have been an interesting turn in the dream.
Yep.
Was this
Grandma
the same
clowns?
Grandma that was a dog, or was that the last?
That was the last one. A lot of grandmas today. A lot of grandmas. Dog grandma. Clown-killing grandma. I don't know. Grandmas are in a lot of dreams.
Grandma,
they just really are.
Yeah. I think that it's a big comfort symbol or, you know, past memory type thing for a lot of people.
Yep. But there's one lesson to learn.
Wow.
Don't taunt the clowns. Dangerous.
Okay. This one's a little different. This is Lakeland. I like that name.
Love
Lakeland it. Lakeland from Fort Worth.
Okay.
I had a dream just now. Wow.
Wow. Just now. And then you just felt like emailing the podcast. Love it. Thank you.
Yep. I was some well-known billionaire like it.
Sweet.
And I was on
a
rooftop.
That's Tamaguchi right there.
That's Tamaguchi. Whoa. Billionaire. I was on a rooftop at night watching an event along with some other important people.
Okay.
This guy randomly approaches me. He seemed like my personal assistant or bodyguard, I'm not sure, and whispers to me to stay quiet and told me something about the passion project.
Okay.
Apparently, this project was a secret project by the government and was about executing people who are rude and bad-tempered. I'm like,
not,
this is a
not
good
post.
Project, I think. It's better than most. Bad-tempered. And then he tells me to start acting nice for the cameras.
Oh,
I was so scared. I was shaking. Suddenly, a photographer approaches to take a photo of us all, and my PA tells me to smile as hard as I can.
Ooh, hard smiles.
Have you ever smiled or laughed so much your cheeks hurt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, God. I think half of the time I have done that has been with you in your presence.
Same. You make
every
me laugh.
Week when we record, bro. Duh.
I wake up the next day, I'm like,
Yeah, and your stomach hurts.
Okay. Oh, the stomach is bad. Sometimes I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Initially, the passion project looked like a spa store in my dream. Oh. I don't know what a spa store is, but I'll go there.
Deceiving.
Then I guess it changed into a cereal brand. You know how things do.
Yeah.
Because I was asked to do a commercial along with Hey Mindy, Taylor Swift.
Yes, girly.
And two other famous people. I can't remember now.
That doesn't matter.
I didn't do... It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Taylor's what doesn't matter? Who can...
I didn't do anything while we were shooting the commercial, but they were basically force-fed to eat this artificially sweet cereal that they looked like they wanted to throw up, but they have to play it nice for the cameras because they don't want to get executed. Wow. Wow. Yeah. What would you think about the Passion Project?
I think it's... You're gonna make me talk about human execution, Brooke? Like I should be okay with it? You're painting me in a corner. Yeah, here. This is gonna be like used as like talking. You're gonna like clip it out and be like, Mindy believes in executing people.
Exactly.
That's not what I'm saying. That's what you're going. I don't like mean people. I'll say that. I don't necessarily believe.
I don't like
should be
rude, bad tempered people either. But
we
maybe
could find maybe something a little
more
humane.
Passion Project could be a little more passionate and maybe throw them all on an island like they did with Australia when it was all prisoners.
Yeah,
get
yeah,
all the rude, bad-tempered people.
Yeah.
We'll find an island.
Yeah, we'll do that.
They can be mean to each other.
We'll make sure there's some like coconuts there and some racehorses. You'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
All right. This is Jim from Omaha.
Ooh.
This is called Sleep Paralysis Inside of a Dream. I had a dream during a real-life car ride. I fell asleep while driving.
Oh.
Well, not while driving. That would be bad. He fell asleep.
I was like,
After pre-reading okay. it, let me just say. He was on a road trip in real life, in the back seat, fell asleep.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I had a dream during my car ride, and I was on the freeway with the exact people I was driving with in real life. Once we made it to a certain part of the drive, my friend reversed parked in a building in the city. Reverse parkers.
Good job.
We've talked about that.
Good job.
The second part of my dream was really weird. We drove to a fire station and my group was having a talk with the firefighters. I was sitting in the back seat of the car on the right side, and for some reason, I wasn't able to get out or move at all. It was like in the dream, I was having sleep paralysis. So not experiencing... sleep paralysis in your
actual
waking light.
It was
like
just but in your dream.
Crazy, right? Yeah.
That's interesting.
For about 5 minutes, I was trying to move my head and I just couldn't move it. Finally, I was able to slowly move my whole body and got out of the car and met up with my group at the fire station. Like, can you call like a fireman over? Like, hey, I'm paralyzed. I'm having some issue here. Can you send the ambulance, perhaps?
Please?
Paramedics. Next, we start sitting down for dinner at the firehouse. Dinner tables were spread out, one by one. The food was being passed down from table to table. So we're talking like family style. The food consisted of steak and jelly.
That's one I've never heard of before.
There's also condiments and utensils we use as well.
So you're
mixing jelly is kind of
and mustard and jelly with your steak. Like, what mayonnaise? Like, what kind of condiment?
No, got some A1. But like the jelly throws me off in this one.
Concoction, yeah.
Yeah, the jelly throwing me off. I don't eat my steak with jelly.
I don't either.
Mm-mm.
I'm too bougie.
you're too Tamaguchi.
I eat my steak with jam.
Gotta get the seeds.
Alrighty. This is Cynthia from Oakland. O-Town. Right. One of the O-Towns.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds was my baby daddy. Hey now.
Nice.
Alright.
Like
starts
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
She says, do I love Ryan Reynolds? No. Sorry. Say what?
Girl,
he's good looking and funny and...
Okay, I'll take him.
But I don't think I've even ever watched a Ryan Reynolds movie. The dream was pretty simple, I guess. I went outside and Mr. Reynolds, is that what you call your baby daddy? Mr. Reynolds.
Well, maybe.
Oh, Mindy.
Daddy.
Mr. Reynolds was sitting in a blue plastic kiddie pool by my porch, holding two baby girls in swimsuits and hats.
Oh.
I said, are they mine?
Oh.
And he said, of course.
You don't
nice,
remember?
I guess. I feel like Cynthia is so, like, sarcastic in this dream. Like, nice. Okay, Ryan Reynolds, okay.
Those are my babies?
Okay. Like, just so nonchalant about it. Like, all right, let's... There wasn't much else in the dream, but it was just so random. But she says, the babies were pretty cute, though. I picked up one of the babies, and that's literally all I remember.
I mean, that's like, an interesting dream, though.
Yes. I mean, it is very random. So,
yes,
like,
yeah.
I think you should enjoy your Ryan Reynolds baby daddy supreme with his cute little girls in the...
And maybe you should watch a Ryan Reynolds movie, and maybe it'll change your mind about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, give him a chance. Give him a chance.
Agreed.
Although, is he married to...
What's her name? The blonde. She's stunning. Blake Lively? Is it Blake Lively?
Yeah,
you're Lively?
Right. That's one. Yep.
What a stunning couple.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for all of our cat naps. We had quite a mix. I mean, a lot of grandmas.
Grandmas.
But, you know, still quite
animals,
a mix.
Humans.
Animals. You know, good times. And G, of course, for sharing everything, your personal and your dream. And we appreciate everything that you do. So keep fighting.
All right. Brooke, we haven't done pod news in a while. So I did want to share some exciting things with you.
Yes, I am excited.
The first, I want to give a shout out to Godless Pod Bimbo, who left us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Oh my God.
Godless Pod Bimbo. Love it. She says, can't stop laughing. These two are hilarious. Such a fan. We're a fan of you.
Oh.
Bimbo.
Godless.
I feel bad saying it that way, but we are a fan of yours. So
no,
thank
but-
you.
Oh, very big fan. Thank you.
Huge.
That was so sweet.
I'm starting a fan club. Thank you. The other thing I want to share with you, darling Brooke, is we hit on the podcast charts this week.
Huh?
We charted for comedy podcast number 66 in Belarus. 66.
Hey, now!
Comedy podcast.
Number 66.
I don't know.
We love
who
you, Belarus.
You are over there listening, but you are our new favorite besties. You
yes,
Belarusians.
The whole country.
The whole country. We love it.
Maybe sweet peeps.
We might have to stop there. I don't know if it's a friendly country, actually.
That's going to be on our trip. one of our stops. We're going to Belarus.
Yeah, world tour.
I'm excited. That is good pod news.
I think it's exciting. Yeah, so exciting things are happening. And other things are in the works. Bestie, you're just going to have to... Stick around. We have something coming up in April that's going to be exciting and possibly September that we're working on. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good things coming this year.
Brooke, I have a very interesting story to share with you today.
Oh my, am I intrigued.
Oh, it's a hard one, though.
Okay.
I came across this by watching 2020.
Oh.
There was an episode that originally aired on January 29th, 2001. So this is where I get a lot of my information. There's always links in the show notes. This is a story of Yarmila Falater. So this starts off with Yarmila. She was born February 5th, 1955, in a close town, actually, Berwyn, Illinois.
Oh, okay. I mean, that is basically
right down the
street. where I used to live.
Yeah.
South Oak Park Avenue ran into Berwyn was like the next block away from me.
So that's where she was born. Her parents were Joseph and Yarmila. That's her mom's name, so family name. She was raised Catholic, and actually one of her nicknames was Yarm, which I think what an adorable nickname.
Yarm.
I think it's cute.
Yarm. What's up?
Oh, for like a little girl, like Yarm. Very Yarm.
Oh, cutie. Yarmy.
People said she was a very intelligent, you know, young lady. She was funny, but she always spoke her mind. She had no problem telling people what she thought.
She taunts clowns.
Don't taunt clowns. Anything we learned today, it's not a good idea. Yarmila attended Riverside Brookfield High School. She would have graduated in 1973.
Okay.
So, but her sophomore year at the high school in English class, she met a man named Scott Falater. Scott was smitten with her.
Was this a fellow student?
Yeah, a student.
Oh, okay.
So they're in the same English class in sophomore year.
Okay, I thought you were going to like flip it and say it was the teacher.
No. They met in sophomore English. He just was smitten. It was his first girlfriend. And his mom even knew right away, like, he was going to marry her. He was head over heels for her. Well, Scott, let's talk about Scott a little bit. So Scott Flotter was born September 14th, 1955. He was born in Miami Beach, but relocated to Illinois, which is how he met Yarmila. Mm-hmm. He was the oldest of five kids, also raised Catholic. At one point, his mom did say that she didn't have a great relationship with Scott's dad. And so it was kind of hard on him growing up. They had a kind of a tumultuous marriage.
Yeah.
And Scott was always known in high school as being an introvert, but a good student. So they started dating sophomore year. They're like, what, 15? You know, young puppy love. And they were actually voted in the high school news. I don't know if it was a newspaper or the yearbook, but they were voted most likely to get married by classmates.
Oh, cute.
After high school graduation, they decided to go to different colleges. They were about 50 miles apart in northern Illinois, in this area here.
That's not bad. That's
no,
like
you got to grow and learn
drive.
Your own thing.
Yeah.
Give yourself some space to become a young adult.
Yep.
It was about this time Scott met some LDS missionaries around the time he was in college. He became interested in the Mormon faith and wanted both him and Yarmila to convert before getting married to Mormonism.
Oh, gosh.
You're Catholic, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you're both raised Catholic.
But it sounds like it's going to be more of the FLDS kind of. Okay. Well, it's okay. I'm not going to judge.
Nope. You can judge later. I'll let you.
Yes.
So at first, Yarmila wasn't convinced that she wanted to switch her faith, but later agreed. The two were married at the ages of 21 and 20, so right out of college, in a Mormon ceremony.
Wow.
They moved to Florida in the early 80s, and they had two kids. We had Megan was born in 81, and Michael was born in 84.
Okay.
Good life. I mean, it was stressful. You know, they kind of moved around a little bit, but they finally settled in Arizona in 1987.
Oh, now I know it's really going towards the FLDS.
there's a big kind of community
big
there, right?
presence in Arizona, like right where you're like Utah and Arizona. And
Okay. So, yeah, this is the northeast side of Phoenix, so Maricopa County area.
Oh, okay.
This is where they lived. So I'm going to fast forward 10 years. So they have their roots planted in the Phoenix area for about 10 years. Scott and Yarmila are 42 and 41, respectively. Their kids are a little older now. Their kids are 15 and 12. And Yarmila, now that the kids were a little older, decided to go back to work, and so she was a preschool teacher.
Oh, cool.
Scott was an electrical engineer at Motorola. Do you remember those phones?
Motorola.
Did you ever have a Motorola phone?
I did. It was one of my favorite.
Yes.
I had the flip phone.
Oh,
and you had
so
to pull
good.
The little...
antenna?
The little antenna. That was like one of my favorite phones
I loved
of all time.
That phone. Because then it clasped and it had a little clip, belt clip. I could put it in.
It was cute. What was it called? I can't remember, but it had like a name. But, my favorite.
Now, Scott was a big member of the LDS Church at this point and became a seminary teacher. So we would teach kids, you know, morning classes about the faith, and it was kind of a big part of his life at this point. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get to a day, Brooke, that it's going to break your heart.
Oh, God.
This is January 16th, 1997. Yeah, this is kind of right before you moved to Arizona.
It is.
A couple years, right?
Couple
years.
Did
you move there in 99?
2000.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, a couple years.
Okay. So, this particular day, Scott worked a long day at Motorola, came home. Yarmila cooks dinner for the family. Scott mentions over dinner that he was stressed about a work project, that it was going to be canceled, and he was worried about his team members getting let go.
Sure.
And everything I heard from these interviews on the 2020, his employees loved him. They're like, he was the nicest guy. He took care of them. They had nothing but great things to say about him.
They always are, Mindy. They're always the nicest people.
After dinner, Scott was working on his seminary lesson for the next morning class, and Yarm asked him to take a look at the pool pump. It wasn't working, and she was afraid that the water was going to turn green. You know those Arizona pools.
Yeah.
In the hot heat, it's going to turn nasty. So she's like, you know, hey, babe, I have something on your honey-do list. Can you go outside, check the pump, get it working? So he worked on it for a while, couldn't get it working. There was something with the O-ring that was like stuck or not working. So he worked until it got dark and was pretty much like, I don't know. I have to look at it tomorrow when it gets light out again. So here's the timeline I want to talk about. The kids were home. The kids went to bed about 9 p.m. And it was about 9:30, Scott recalled later that he went to bed himself. It got dark. The kids were already in bed. His wife, Yarmila, was watching TV on the couch. Do you want to guess, Brooke, what TV show she would have been watching in 1999 about 9 o'clock at night?
2020?
No. Oh. Could have been.
Let's see.
It's one of my favorites. I'll say drama.
To be at 9 o'clock. Yep. There's no comedies at 9.
No.
99?
I can give you a hint when you want.
Is it a nighttime show? You say, okay, yeah, it's a nighttime show. Yeah. Sorry. 9 o'clock. Give me a hint. What network was it on?
I want to say NBC, but I'm not 100% sure. I can give you an actor in it.
Okay.
Anthony Edwards.
Are you talking about ER for reals?
Yes, I am.
No, because that was going to be my first guess as a joke.
Yes. Oh, no.
Because I'm rewatching it. I'm on episode 12 of season one. It took me like 2 weeks to get through just the first two episodes because they were so emotional. Yes. But now I'm on a nice cruise and speed, and I'm like, no, it couldn't possibly be
that. Yeah, no, like, Wiley, you got George Clooney, classic, right?
I remember you didn't know Anthony Edwards.
I know,
was
it was Goose. blew my mind that episode.
Oh my God. Okay, loves this. So, yeah. Okay, ER.
Yeah. Yarmila's just watching TV. She fell asleep. You know, he kind of kissed her goodnight and he went to bed. Scott did. Then we're going to kind of shift. We're a scene change here, Brooke. Okay. We're now at the neighbor's house. We're at Stephanie and Greg's house. And let me give you what happens. To give you kind of an idea of what the setup is, they have like a brick or concrete wall between their backyards.
Yep.
According to Stephanie, this is her account. Greg and I were getting ready to go to bed somewhere a little after 10, probably 10:30. And then I heard moaning or crying or something. And I told Greg, I think it was something outside. We just really didn't want to be the nosy neighbors, you know, eavesdropping. Mm-hmm. But Greg thought, you know, hopefully it's not something bad happening. So he just went outside and took a look over the wall.
Oh, no.
Greg sees the body of Yarmila just laying there. At first, he kind of thought it was like she was drunk or passed out. It just kind of looked like she was intoxicated. And he looks up and he sees Scott in the bedroom, walking out of the bathroom into the bedroom. And it looked like he was like rubbing his hands or something. And, you know, they're like, okay, that's weird. You know, maybe she just had too much wine tonight. The dog starts barking. So they have a dog. The dog starts going crazy at the back door.
He's still standing there at the wall?
Yes, he's watching this. He then sees Scott come downstairs, try to stop the dog from barking, tries to pacify the dog. Scott comes out to the backyard, and he stands over Yarmila. He then grabs her by both arms, over her head, and drags her to the edge of the pool, and then seems to roll her body into the pool.
What?
Here's the 911 call transcript.
Oh, God.
911, what's your emergency? I don't know. My neighbors, there's a bunch of yelling and screaming going on. I looked over the fence and the husband just threw, I believe, the wife into the pool. And it looks like he's holding her underwater. Do you need a minute? Because that's a lot.
Yeah. Okay, I'm good.
Okay. Shortly thereafter, cops arrive. They look in the backyard. They see a bloody scene. They see the patio door is cracked, so, you know, they go in. One officer said that the pool looked like a shark attack.
Oh.
So they go inside, guns drawn, find Scott, clean white undershirt, red flannel pajama bottoms, standing at the top of the stairs, looking confused, but out of breath. Scott begins to ask, what's going on? The cops ask,
I'm beyond intrigued.
I got a pair of red flannel jammies. I'm no Scott.
I didn't kill anybody.
According to the cops, they ask him how many people are in the house. He answers 4. They handcuff him, put him in the car, and they sweep the house. That's when they find the kids, Megan and Michael.
Oh, God.
No, it's okay. No problem with the kids. Okay. I know. According to the son, Michael, he said in the 2020 interview, the next thing I recall is a police officer waking me up sometime very early in the morning and telling me that my parents had gotten into a fight and had a disagreement. I thought it was odd because I had never seen my parents fight or argue.
Huh.
Okay. Well, you know, Brooke, I think you know where this is going, why I'm doing this story.
I think it's a sleepwalking murder. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. You had me thrown, though. I really thought it was going to go FLDS, so.
Yeah.
Woo! Shock!
Yay! Yay, not yay.
Yay, not yay, yeah.
So they bring Scott down to the police station in the interrogation room, and there's a video. I'm also going to post that link in the show notes. He is just beyond. Like, he is, like, just curled up, kind of, like, hunched over in his chair. He's not looking at the investigators when he's talking. He's confused. He is not crying, but he is just kind of stunned.
And have they told her she's dead?
Yeah. So they had said, your wife was killed. You killed your wife.
So he's not just confused, like, why am I being taken in? Well aware that.
Yep. I mean, they had an eyewitness hold her under the water. Like, right. They kind of, no questions asked. He killed his wife. Scott accepted what he was being told. He just had no recollection of it. He didn't deny it.
That has to be terrifying.
Does not recall. Oh, right? Like, oh, how.
Especially if they seem like such a happy couple. You know, like, that would be horrifying to wake up and realize.
Oh, that not only that you. That. The love of your life is dead, but now you're being told that you did it and you don't remember it?
Ugh. And now you're going to, like, your kids won't have parents because one's dead and one's in jail. You know, like that.
Tough.
Oof.
So it seems like an open and shut case. He did do it. I mean, there's no doubt. We have a witness. He killed his wife.
What happened that was so bloody? Did we miss that part?
Yeah. Nope. I'm coming to it.
Okay.
Nonetheless, it was going to go to trial. The reason it was going to, well, it has to go to trial, of course, but the prosecution was seeking death penalty, and the defense was saying it was sleepwalking, that he had no clue he did it. It wasn't premeditated. They're not denying he did it, but they were trying to get the death penalty off of the table.
I mean, it is hard to believe a sleepwalking defense. It really is just a tough thing to prove. We've seen it over cases we've looked at before on the show, but it's like, I would think they could at least consider manslaughter or involuntary manslaughter, you know.
They're going for first degree.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is interesting that the trial begins in May of 1999. So just before you moved there, because I bet you would have you would have heard about this constantly if you were in the Phoenix area.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. It was televised. So it was actually quite a national event because it was a televised trial. It lasted 6 weeks. And there were 52 witnesses called. That's a lot of witnesses.
Oh, 52?
Yeah. And a majority of them. I mean,
why?
Of course, the neighbors.
I mean, for such an open, like what they're saying, open and shut case. But like 52?
I think a lot of it was character testimony. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's Scott, how was their marriage? The defense was trying to put in holes in it. Like, what was the motive?
The motive, like, yeah.
You knew Scott. Like, what kind of person was he? What kind of relationship was he? Was there any financial trouble? Was there another woman? And nothing. But we'll get into that.
Gosh.
What the defense was saying is Scott had woken up from his sleep, grabbed a flashlight, and a knife to cut the O-ring to fix the pump. So they felt like he was still fixing the pump, right? So, like, he grabbed a flashlight, grabbed a knife, went outside. Yarmila came up behind him and saw that, you know, like, hey, what are you doing? And startled him. And that's when she was stabbed.
That's not tight. That's not tight.
Yeah, not tight. But his mom and sister were the ones that really wanted to push this defense because they claimed as a kid he had sleepwalk. I'll give you a couple of examples. His mom said that he came down fully dressed for school once at midnight. When he was 15 or 16, he came downstairs completely naked and had to be waken up from a sleepwalk. But here's the most interesting story that they shared. His sister, Laura, when Scott was 20, it was about a month before his wedding to Yarmila. So he was doing college finals. He was stressed out about the wedding. He wasn't sleeping well. And he had went to bed about 9 o'clock, and she was up watching TV when she saw him, when she saw him, like, walk behind her. And so she kind of got up, realized he was sleepwalking, kind of got between him and the door so he wouldn't hurt himself or walk outside. And when she kind of got between him and the door, she brushed her shoulder against him, and he picked her up and threw her against the wall.
Oh, my gosh.
And she says he looked angry and demonic and didn't have any recollection of that event. It's going to get crazier.
Oh, God.
Okay. Okay, so that's the only time anyone ever saw him violent. Like, he was not a violent guy. Again, character witnesses said he was the best guy. He was never violent. His kids never saw their parents fight. They're like, this is not him. But the problem for the prosecution was there's no motive. There was no motive. The financial records all look good. There was no argument. There was no other woman. And even one of Yarmila's best friends took the stand, and she said the relationship was good. She never spoke bad about Scott. Now, granted, like, some people put on a facade, even if their marriage is having problems.
Sure.
Like, you tell everyone everything's good. So, could things have not been great? That's something that we won't know.
You can't hide that shit necessarily from kids and close family friends, you know, are still going to know.
Yeah.
No matter how close you keep it.
This friend did say that she did recall a conversation where Yarmila had a couple years earlier mentioned that Scott was a sleepwalker. Yarmila told a story that she woke up and Scott was rummaging through the closet for clothes in the middle of the night, but she never mentioned any sort of violence when he sleptwalk.
I mean, you think if it's stress related, like the what he did to his sister or whatnot, you think during a marriage and kids and all that, he would have had
and
a
all those
similar
years.
Yeah. At some point, and all those years, another incident, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. The lead prosecutor was Juan Martinez. He had never lost a murder case. I mean, I think, again, this is an open show case. He's going to get charged with murder. But he wanted that murder in first degree with the death penalty is what he was seeking. Because to him, it wasn't...
That's harsh.
It was not sleepwalking. He thought this was premeditated. Right. According to
Juan... What's the motive?
That is the problem with the prosecution. They cannot tie this to a motive at all. But here's some more facts that I think might sway your decision.
Okay.
According to prosecutors, the scene they painted was Scott came outside. He lured Yarmila outside. And then we have some records from the medical examiner that kind of play out the scene. He came up behind her.
Okay.
Covered her mouth and stabbed her on her right side with his right hand with a hunting knife.
Oof.
So it's not that he just grabbed... Okay, here's my problem. He didn't just grab a kitchen knife. Like, you watched... Like, where do you keep a hunting knife? It's not going to be in your nightside stand. It's probably going to be, like...
No, it's going to be...
Garage, tools. Like, the hunting knife.
Yeah.
In fact, it was a hunting knife. Kind of bothers me. So this is what happened. After he had stabbed her, she was not dead yet. There was 44 stab marks. Most of them being defensive. There was two critical ones that caused the blood loss.
The 44, only two were critical? Yeah. That's terrible. Yeah. That means she really put up a fight.
Oh, and she knew. I mean, if this was sleepwalking, I mean, can you imagine the confusion you would have?
You wouldn't understand why he's doing this.
No.
Your husband,
no.
You know? Like,
no, it's not someone you know. It's not someone you know. After stabbing her, went inside, showered, got dressed. He then put on a Band-Aid, went back outside, drowned her, held her in the water, came back inside, rechanged his clothes, so we're two clothes changes in, a shower and two clothes changes, took all the evidence, the clothes, the bloody clothes, the bloody knife, he had a mouthpiece for some reason, gloves, boots, put them in...
What do you mean
in,
a mouthpiece?
Like... I don't know, like, I can't find all the details on it. Like, it was almost like, I don't know if it's like a sport, like a weightlifting or like a...
Like a mouth,
football,
like
guard,
a mouth
like
guard. A teeth guard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe it was like a sleeping thing because, you know, Mark has like a guard, sleeping
he was
guard.
Sleeping.
So maybe that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Puts it all in a Tupperware container. Anyway, in a garbage bag, in a Tupperware container, and hides it in the wheel well of his vehicle.
That doesn't sound like someone that is just dreaming.
That's
Those
a lot
are
to
very
do.
Intelligent steps. That
and
is very
would you
calculated.
Think a shower would especially wake you up? It's hard to believe.
I mean, and to have just having him say he put all the thought into
hiding
the evidence
it.
And then hiding it, like that just that's not what you do when you're sleepwalking. You're not that logical. You're not...
No. Sorry, this is a long topic, but... Okay. Like I said, the medical examiner said he had stabbed her 44 times, a lot of defensive wounds. There was water in her lungs, which proved the fact that she was still alive when he held her underwater.
God, after being stabbed 44 times, and then you're still alive, and then someone drowns you?
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It's horrifying. Horrifying for her. Of course, the trial brings plenty of sleep experts, right?
But I was ready for these experts to be hitting the stand.
One of the experts for the prosecution said people don't typically hide things.
Right.
But of course, then the defense is like, people hide things all the time. Like, they put their purse in a drawer, or they'll put the ketchup in the dishwasher.
That's true.
Like,
I do.
So,
shit like
again,
that.
It's very hard because they're getting all these different experts have different opinions. And then what the prosecution said was they're spinning the story that it was premeditated. He hid the evidence. The only reason he got caught was because the neighbors happened to see what was going on and called 911.
And
was he going to spin a story of there was a burglar, I was sleeping, he's going to come out in the morning, find his wife dead? The only thing that happened was
motive.
He got caught by the neighbors. But what's the motive? What's the motive? I don't know.
And what if he hadn't got caught by the neighbor? What was he going to do with the body?
I think he would have spun the tale that it was a burglar.
Yeah.
He was sleeping and someone came in and murdered her. I think that's my feeling.
Well, then that shows that he is thinking about it, thinking about a reason. And
yeah,
he's making illogical, granted.
Yes.
I don't say not sane, but logical decisions. Like, he knew he needed to hide or cover up stuff. So
while he was awaiting his trial, Scott did participate in a sleep study. He was monitored for 4 nights, and he had, our favorite thing, the polysomnograph. Mm-hmm. He was hooked up to that. So it's checking all his brain waves and things while sleeping. Now, according to the defense experts, they said that it showed hypersynchronous delta waves, which could be indicative of sleepwalking.
Okay.
So what it is like, instead of seamlessly transitioning between each stages of sleep, it is, how we see it's it's a wave. It shows more disruption in his brain between the sleep stages, and especially before the dream stage.
Yes, but sleepwalking is very different than sleep killing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think we should put that on a t-shirt.
Yes. That's another good one.
Uh-huh. The difference of opinion of the experts is what, the jury is listening to. The defense had 2 sleep experts saying that he didn't knowingly do it. And then the prosecution had 1 sleep expert that discredited the sleep study, saying those results could have actually been from sleep apnea instead. They have similar, I guess, waves. Scott even took the stand in his own defense and saying he had no memory of that evening. He said he loved his wife. And it went to the jury.
Oh, my God.
Brooke. Let me ask you your opinion. And I think this one, it might have been one that you'd covered in your quick little guilty, innocent, or insane.
Yeah.
What do you think? What is your opinion on this? Obviously, it's murder. We know that part. Are they going to get the death penalty?
I think he's guilty. Guilty with commuted to life?
Okay, let's see. The jury deliberated for 8 hours.
That must have been a rough room.
Yeah. The first vote, 8-4. So it's not like it was unanimous. It took them a little while.
Wow. 8-4. I mean, 12, 8-4 guilty?
8-4 guilty. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Wow. The second vote came in 10-2. And on
that
June
one was
20th,
convincing people.
No. Brooke would be in there and she's like, what's the motive?
What's
the motive?
What is the motive? We still
don't
have
know.
It's in
no.
the jury's hands, and we still don't have a motive.
We don't. We'll never get a no motive for this. We will never get one. Spoiler alert. It's not like, something, but it's not like something came up later. Like, if it was another woman and a relationship ends, there's usually someone who's willing to talk. So,
this just
never, never, nothing came up.
This is so bizarre because I don't believe the hiding stuff, but I don't understand the lack of motive, though, either.
Yeah,
like,
right. So on June 25th, 1999, Scott was found guilty of murder in the first degree. So he is currently still alive. He is serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole at the Tuma Prison Complex. He will be there till he dies. He does not have a chance of getting out.
he went in, so he's been there like 30 years, right? Yeah. Around, because he went in his 40s or whatever.
He was 42 when it happened.
Mm. And he's still sticking to his story.
He still has no recollection at all of what happened.
Oh, still this is a toughie.
Let's give you a little bit of like the aftermath. Yarmila's mom agreed he should go to prison. She's like, yeah, he did kill my daughter. But she also wanted her grandkids to have a relationship with the father, and she doesn't blame him. I feel, from what I read, that she thinks it wasn't on purpose. Like, yeah, he was sleepwalking. Mm-hmm. So, like, even if your own
mom... That's a huge testament to his character.
Right? I'm like, this whole story is taking me... Yes, it was sleepwalking. We tried to hide evidence. What's the motive? You know, I'm back and forth on this case.
I am, too.
And
I just can't believe... Nothing has come up in the 30 years or whatever. Like, like you said, no other financial records, nothing from a family, friend, ex, lover, anything. Like, what?
Yeah. Now, as far as the kids go, I mean, they're about our age. His daughter, Megan, doesn't visit him regularly anymore. Scott said in an interview that he doesn't blame her. He's like, I can't feel angry for it. You know, I don't remember what happened, but I can't blame her that she doesn't want to have that relationship with me. On the other side, his son, Michael, still believes his father was sleepwalking. Like he said, he never saw his parents fight. Doesn't make sense to him why his dad would do that to his mom. And he still has a relationship. He still visits his dad. And that's it, Brooke. That's a story.
You've got me all riled up now because I don't feel like there is a...
That's not a good conclusion.
...conclusion to this.
But the mind, again, is like the sleepwalking, what your brain does when it sleeps is still so unknown. Like, we don't know if this is possible.
It's the next big frontier, right? Like, we have to go into the sleep world.
It is. It's the last frontier of medicine. Yeah. I do have a couple fun facts. Not fun facts. I'll say facts. I don't know if they're fun. Okay. To wrap this up. It's also known as the pool pump murder, although I don't feel... comfortable calling it the pool pump murder, but that is what one of the sleep experts called it in her book. So one of the sleep experts in the trial for the defense, she wrote a book about this, and she calls it the pool pump murder, but I think that's kind of insensitive.
I'm kind of interested in reading it, though.
I am interested. So her name's Dr. Cartwright, and she's based in Chicago, actually, at the Rush University Medical Center.
Then we can just go ask her.
No, we'll just stop in the car, Brooke. You're going to be here next weekend. Let's go. Here, this is interesting. This is kind of weird to me. She still has a relationship with Scott. Scott has sent her dream material for the last 9 years that he's been incarcerated. And 14 of his dreams out of the more 200 dreams he has sent her are included in this book.
Okay, I've got a couple questions.
Yeah, I know you do.
Any, like, neurological or psychological experts or studies done, or hypnosis, you know, like, anything to try to dig in and find out what was going on?
Not that I'm aware of. The hypnosis thing's a good idea. It's very interesting, though. Yeah, I am curious.
And why... Right? Okay, why is he also...
Why are they pen pals? Right? Why are they pen pals?
Why also was he using a knife to fix an O-ring?
Right. And why a hunting knife? Like, I think he was trying to cut it off is what they were saying in the trial. But, you can use any other knife. If you're walking through the kitchen, why are you grabbing there's plenty of knives.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna blow your mind a little bit here, a little bit more. Well, I would love to see... this book, and I think maybe we should cover some of his dreams. Besties, let us know if you want us to read one of these dreams from the book. We'll buy it. We'll write it off as a business expense, Brooke. We'll buy this book. And
We'll get a paperback copy. So it's a used paperback on Amazon for $7.99.
Yeah, but maybe we see if we can get a copy, and let's maybe we share that on the Sleepover Squad.
I think that would be awesome.
Cool. Okay, we're welcome into that. Okay, but here's a couple other facts. Now, these facts I couldn't verify by two sources, so I didn't want to put them in, but they're things to think about. So I don't know that they're true. I couldn't find the actual facts on this. One thing I saw was Yarmila wasn't wearing her wedding ring when her body was found, which So, you know, you do dishes, you put on lotion. Don't sleep in their
jewelry.
Where
was it found? Where do they know?
I don't know.
Then we can't use that.
We can't use that. No, this is why I didn't include it, but I find the interesting stuff.
I know, but it is like, because like if they had said, oh, we found it by the bathroom sink or the kitchen sink, then I'd be like,
sure.
She took it off. You know, but like,
or
was it missing altogether?
Was it a motive? Were they having a spat? I don't know. And the last one I'm going to bring up is Scott's contacts were in when they arrested him.
You don't normally sleep in your contacts.
You shouldn't. It's bad for your eyes. And so, if you were sleepwalking,
maybe they went behind his eyes and infected his brain and he went nuts.
That's probably it. But I mean, if you think about it, like, if you're sleepwalking, do you stop and put on your contacts?
I feel like he wasn't sleeping at all.
I know. He still had
his contacts and then showering too. You don't, I mean, I.
Why is that not waking him up?
Your contacts. Why is that not waking him up?
I don't know.
And to change clothes,
twice.
Shower,
change your clothes twice.
Again, and hide everything.
Hide the evidence.
Ah!
I don't know.
I'm tired.
I know. It is one that's going to sit in my brain for a while.
It's going to sit with me.
I would love an interview with him, actually, for the podcast. Like, I would be
I want to go
to
in
hear.
There with all these... I want to look in your brain. I want you to talk to a therapist. I want you to go through hypnosis.
Yeah.
I want you to... All of that.
Yeah.
And if he's innocent, wouldn't you be like, yeah, what? I want to know why.
Yeah. So we can prevent it. What can we figure out? Like, is there... Like, can you create a medication that's not going to allow...
It's like what's it called? I'm not a football person, but you know when they have so many concussions or athletes.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know, and they get that whatever... Brain damage there, and like they kill people, they snap, they go crazy, but usually it's a progression, you know, there's a lot of aggression and
there was no other
personality changes
besides when he was 20, no other violence. I mean, I don't know. I'm so on the fence. And that bestie is the murder of Yarmila Falotter.
Oh my God. That was intense, Mindy.
That was intense. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, it was good. It was great, but it was intense. Yeah. Oh, I'm so frustrated.
Same. Well, let's talk about something better. How was your week? Good? All good?
I gotta tell you, I have discovered a new show. It's not new. I don't know how many seasons there are. But I had just heard about it actually on a podcast.
Oh, awesome.
And she was explaining this show, and I'm like, there's no way. And even the hosts were like, Andrea, no way what you're saying is right. And I'm dying laughing. So
yeah,
I find out it's on Max. So I just sat down one night, started it, and I am whipping through this series.
Nice.
What's it called? Naked Attraction.
Oh.
It is a dating show. It's a UK.
Of course it is.
It's a UK dating show. And it starts with six singles in these cubes. Like, you can't see behind them. They're each a different color.
Yeah.
And then there is either a woman or a man standing outside, and they're going to end up picking one of these people to go on a date with.
Okay.
And sometimes it's a woman picking women. Sometimes it's a man picking women. You know, there's all different combinations. Yeah. Sometimes it's men and women they want to pick from.
Oh.
So what they do, and this host is amazing because it's so polite. So she's like, okay, so first we're going to go from the bottom half. So they literally raise the screen and they are naked. These people are completely naked head to toe.
Okay.
And so then they walk up and they're like...
If the first thing they're showing feet, Brooke, I'm be like, I'm out on all of them.
Bottom half.
I might want to pick a female.
A girl. A man did eliminate one of the girls because he had a big foot thing and her feet were really gross.
Nasty. Oh, okay.
But like, so this is basically the first reveal, waist down. And then the host is bringing the person up.
Oh, so you get all of the privates.
All the privates. And then they even have you turn around so you get the bum too. Yes.
Okay.
What?
I just got a picture of this in my mind.
Never have I ever. Never have I ever. seen so many different types of penises and vaginas. It's sure. mind-blowing.
Of course,
there
yeah.
are uncircumcised that, I'm just going to say, have a ton of extra skin. Mm-hmm. There's some that aren't. There's all the varieties of vajayjays that you can see.
Wow.
But the lady, she cracks me up because she's like, do you like your vagina neat and tucked? Or do you prefer your penis? You know, like, she, and it's just like
she's
normal
very
conversation.
Factual about
and
it,
people
yeah.
are like, yes. And then she'll give like interesting statistics too. So it is okay. kind of fascinating. She's like, well, that's interesting because 23% of women actually find brown hair more attractive, you know, like facts
yeah.
and stuff like that
okay.
too. But then they do up to the neck
okay.
revealed. So with guys, it's like,
I mean,
whatever.
Yeah, who cares?
But
yeah, sure.
girls is
I mean,
like,
I like some good pecs. Don't get me
bits.
Wrong. Yeah.
No, and that's very, and it's so fascinating what the person choosing is actually looking for. Because it's like, too much pubes, you're out. Or I like a little hair, you're out. Or because they have to, each round, they have to eliminate one. So when
okay.
it's waist down,
oh.
they go around, take a look, eliminate one. Then when
Need
it's neck down,
okay.
go around, eliminate one. And then they say the face,
okay.
eliminate one. And then they ask the three left, what do you like most and least about your body? And so that's
wow.
the first time you hear them speak.
Okay. Oh.
And then they choose two people. But here's the kicker.
They never see the face.
Then the person choosing the date has to go get naked.
Oh.
And so they come out
right.
completely
well,
naked,
fair.
Meeting
fair.
Their two choices completely okay. naked, seeing these people like just hugging
wow.
and meeting for the first time. It's just mind-boggling. Like you
I can't even believe this is a
believe
show.
It unless you see it.
Yeah.
So I like turned it on and I was like, everything she said was exactly how she described it.
Wow.
And it is. It's just really fascinating. And it's just like the host is so great because she's bisexual. She's like, I know about the lady parts and the boy bits.
Yeah.
And like, just how she's funny, but scientific and just very yeah. casual about everything.
Not one to watch with the kids, though, perhaps.
No, I think that's a mature audience.
Or you can, because, you know, bodies are bodies.
Bodies are bodies. But it is interesting because it's like,
because it's not sexual. It's just saying, like, these are our bodies.
No, and that's what they're like. This is great. Meeting someone almost like in reverse. Like, we're going to
mm-hmm. yeah.
strip away any preconceived notions we can
God,
have about
so
someone
that's
based on their hair.
Idea.
I'm not
yeah.
their hair, but like their clothes or their
yeah.
shoes or
sure.
how they talk, you know, because you don't hear that till the very end either.
Yeah.
And some people are like, oh, I don't like their accent. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So it yeah. is fascinating. A must
wow.
watch.
Thanks for sharing. I might have to check it out. It sounds extremely interesting. That's for sure.
It is. I mean, I think a dab will do ya. Like, I've seen.
You have to watch all four seasons.
Maybe not, but something makes you not able to turn it off at the same time.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh God, I don't know how many more penises I can see
yeah,
today.
Yeah, right. Brooke's reached her penis limit for the day. Time to shut
up. Oh, but how about you? Have you reached your penis limit for the week?
that is thank you for that is a hard answer. You put me on the spot. No
pun intended, a hard answer.
It's a hard answer. Brooke, I get to see your face next week or this week as you're listening to this live, but my daughter is turning 21, and so she asked
nuts.
Mama, which is yeah first of all crazy, she asked if I would go out in the city with her, and she asked if Auntie Brooke could come along. And
Yay!
So we are partying it up with a 21-year-old.
We're scared and excited.
Yes, I think that's a good way to say it, because I am scared. The mother in me is going to have to mama. I want to make sure she's safe. I mean, I'm flattered she wants her mom to come with her on her 21st
birthday. Yes.
I'm also scared, like you said, because she sent us a list of clubs she wants to go to. And I don't know about you, Brooke, Ooh. But it's been a hot minute since I've been in a club.
Yeah, no, give me a dive bar, please, and thank you.
100%.
Just a chill bar, you know, it doesn't...
karaoke, good,
yeah,
love that. Clubs, not my scene, but I do understand, like, she's 21, she wants
a 21-year-old.
I get it. So we're going to have some interesting stories, I think, in the
I
next
hope so.
Episode, perhaps.
I hope we'll have good, funny stories.
Good Lord. Yeah. But I'm excited. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to hang out with you. And I don't know. So we'll see where the night takes us. Maybe
wish
we'll be clubbing
luck,
it up.
Besties. Wish
yeah, please. And if you want to send a couple of bucks to get her a drink, let us know. I'll give you my Venmo.
Yeah, it's very expensive in Chicago.
Yes, it's going to be an expensive night. Yeah, I'm not.
We're going to be $70 in before we get in the door of a
yeah,
club.
Yeah, between the hotel and the parking in downtown, already out a couple hundred. But
that's just that.
We'll be safe.
We haven't even eaten or drank. Or
it's all about the pregame,
entrance.
Brooke. It's all about the pregame.
Wow.
Until next week.
Wow, wow, wow.
Besties, we need us to do you. Nope, we need us to do you. You need to do us. Please do us. Please do us. Let me try that again. Bestie. We need you to do us one favor. Send us some cash for drinks. And also, tell one friend about the podcast. That's how we grow. Let one person know. That's how we see our numbers every week start to increase, and we love it. We love you for it. You can tell your best friend.
Let's catch up to Belarus.
You can tell your bestie. You can tell the person that you went out clubbing with on your 21st birthday. Give them a call. Give them a little ringle jingle. Tell them about the podcast. Tell them I'm sorry about that night. And listen to the podcast.
Sorry about that night.
Or you can tell your favorite Tamagotchi player. About the show. That's it. I'm going to leave it at that. Play your Tamagotchi, hit up the clubs, and listen to the podcast.
Have a good time. Okay, bestie. Until next week, don't taunt the clowns.
Don't taunt the clowns.
And sweet
dreams,
bitches.
And bitches. So scary. It's common sense.
Don't taunt the clown.